Matthew chapter 4. Just in the limited time that we have this morning, we are thinking this month of the kingdom of God. In their famous oft-quoted song, some of you young people, and I'm sure some of the older people as well, U2's famous song, very famous song, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." And of course, as I've often said, more than just a song that U2 happened to be singing, but actually an echo of the hearts of millions across our world who are searching. It's interesting, if you listen carefully to that song, they use the words, "I believe in kingdom come." What does it mean to believe in kingdom come? What does it mean to believe in the kingdom of God? What do we understand by the kingdom of God? Let me say a couple of things just by way of introduction. One of the key Bible descriptions of a Christian is that they are a citizen in God's kingdom. The kingdom of God is basically the kingly rule of God, and is to be found wherever people submit to the reign of God in Christ. As someone once put it, reign is forecast. And maybe you're a farmer and you're saying, well, hear, hear for that. But no, it's a play on the words. Reign is forecast. His reign is forecast. He is reigning. He will reign. And that's what it means to be a Christian, to have come in this life, to submit to the reign of Christ. The kingdom of God is not a geographical area, but a sphere where Christ is king. And so this morning, just very quickly, actually, I want to mention three brief but simple yet, I think, profound things about the kingdom. Basically, what I'm going to say this morning is very, very simple. I'm going to say the kingdom has come, it is coming, and one day it will have fully come. It has come, it is coming, and one day it will have fully come. The first thing I just want to draw to your attention, and the men upstairs, you can bring up the first heading, is very simply the kingdom's inauguration, or in other words, its beginning. The kingdom's inauguration. It's the next one, David. I suspect that during this wonderful weather, you have not been thinking very much, forgive me for saying this, you have not been thinking very much about Christmas. No, of course not. Well, at Christmas time, we actually ultimately celebrate the arrival of King Jesus. And there is a sense in which the arrival of King Jesus on earth, born of the Virgin Mary, inaugurated, began in a particular way the coming of God's kingdom upon this earth. Now, of course, the kingdom of God existed before Jesus was born. King Jesus has always been Lord of creation. Since the dawn of time, even before the dawn of time, the Lord Jesus has reigned as the eternal Son of God. Colossians chapter 1 teaches, "For everything was created by him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together." But there is a sense that the kingdom of God was brought forth in a dramatic new way when King Jesus was born. That's why I want to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 4. If you glance there at Matthew chapter 4, halfway through the chapter, Jesus begins to preach in verse 12. And he begins to preach with those amazing words, those wonderful words. Look at them there in verse 16. "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And from this time on, it says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Why was the kingdom of heaven near? Because the king had arrived. King Jesus was now walking the streets and byways of this earth. The kingdom was near. King Jesus had been born. And of course, that King Jesus, a lowly servant of God, went on to do amazing things, healing the sick, even raising the dead, teaching profoundly and wonderfully, but setting his face to the cross. And there today, and we were singing, what a moving song, that song that we've just been singing, that last chorus, Son of God, slain for us. The king laying his life down on the cross. And yet because he's king, raising it up again on the third day, ascending into heaven. And let me ask you this morning, as any preacher will ask you, have you submitted your life to the reign of this King Jesus who died for your sins, who rose again for your salvation? Have you repented and allowed his kingdom to come into your life? Have you opened up your life to King Jesus? The kingdom's inauguration. But let me move on quickly to say something about the kingdom's continuation. Remember the message this morning, very simple. The kingdom of God has come, it's coming, and one day it will fully come. The kingdom has already come, but not fully, not completely. You see, as believers, if you're a believer this morning, you will understand very clearly that we live in an in-between period of history. We live in a period between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus. We live between those two great comings of the King. It is a period, if you like, marked by tension between what has already come and what has not yet come. And that is why, and I think the phrase will come up, that's why it is sometimes referred to as the already but not yet period. This period in which we live, and that's how Christians, theologians, Christian leaders have described the period in which we now live. The kingdom has come, it's here already, but not yet fully. Some Christians expect all change to happen now. We'll think a little bit more about that this evening. For example, let me give you an example, a very practical example. One that can sometimes trouble us, but one that we need to think about. Some Christians expect and claim that we should have full health now in this world. They teach that we can expect and claim healing for all sickness here and now. Any failure to go down that road is really a lack of faith. They will point to verses such as Isaiah 53 and verse 5, by his stripes you have been healed. And let me say this, don't want to spend too much time on this, but it is an important point. Within the Reformed tradition, and many of you here are from the Reformed tradition, we certainly believe, let me be very, very clear about this, we certainly believe in a God who is able to heal not only the soul, but the body as he chooses. And we do genuinely, earnestly, sincerely bring those who are on our hearts and pray that God would touch them. Not only within their souls, but within their bodies. We do that genuinely, earnestly, and sincerely. We continue to do that. But we also acknowledge the sovereign purposes of God and realize that not everyone is healed in body in this life. We are healed by his stripes. Spiritually, we are healed from our sin by his stripes. The greatest, if you like, disease of all, we are healed wonderfully and set free from our sin. And maybe we also will receive that bodily healing. Praise the Lord if it happens. We pray for it. But here's the point. It doesn't always happen in this world. Because we live in this period where the kingdom has come, but not yet fully. It's important for us to see that. But here's the third thing that I want you to mention. Not only that the kingdom has come, its inauguration, not only that it's continuing to come, but the third point is this, the kingdom's consummation. And that is why I read those verses from Isaiah chapter 11. And I think they're maybe on the screen. Just bring them up there, David. Let me remind you of what it says. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie together and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. The young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Folks, is that happening today in this world? No, of course not. You put a little lamb in with a wolf and you know what will happen. The curse of sin, the curse of the fall, and there will be bloodshed. But here's the point. There is a day coming when even this earth in which we live upon will be transformed. God will make a brand new earth where these kind of things will happen. Because on that day, the kingdom will have fully come. There will be no more tension. There will be no more pain. There will be no more strife. There will be no more heartache. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more death. There will be no more sin. And when will this happen? When the kingdom fully comes. At the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, when time will come to an end, when this world will be brought to an end, when a brand new world will be made, a new heavens and a new earth, when Jesus comes back, the curse of sin will be reversed, and all things will be restored. And here's the challenge, folks. Those who have chosen in this world and in this life to ignore Jesus and to reject Jesus, they will get what they have chosen. Think about that. They will get what they have chosen. And they will find themselves in a loveless and a joyless and a Christless eternity. Think about that. Is that you? It may be you. And yet I believe, knowing some of you, that is not what you desire. That is not what you desire. You have put off salvation. You have put off coming to Christ. Well, you know why you've put it off. Maybe the fear of friends, the fear of not being able to keep it, or that kind of thing. But let me say to you today, turn to the Father. Come back to the Father. We heard from the bishop how the story of the prodigal son touched him. And maybe that story will touch someone here this morning as you hear the call of the gospel to come back to the Father who stands with open arms to receive you and to clothe you with garments of salvation and to put a robe of righteousness upon you. It is so true. And I can also testify this morning that Jesus Christ is the one who is not only able to save us, but to keep us and to satisfy us. The world, the devil says, you'll not find any satisfaction in the gospel. He's a liar. He's a liar. Young people, he's a liar. Come to Christ. And you will join that redeemed band of children of God. And when the kingdom comes, you will find yourself in that new earth, that new heavens and a new earth, where you will have a brand new body. And you will be able to do things that you never dreamed of being able to do as you serve the Lord. It will not always be singing for eternity. I think sometimes people think of this idea of heaven, standing in a choir, singing for eternity. No, I'm sure it's not just about singing. It's about serving the Lord in ways that are unimaginable and glorious and wonderful. New bodies, disease, sickness-free bodies, sinless hearts, sinless minds, nothing to cause you any pain or any discomfort, and you will live forever. It's unbelievable, and yet it's the gospel. It's the gospel. And so this morning, as I finish, my message is simply this. The kingdom of God, it has come in Jesus, in King Jesus. It has come. It is continuing to come as the gospel is preached, as people are converted to Jesus, as people receive his salvation, as people bow the knee to Christ. Will you bow the knee even this morning? And one day, it will fully come, and all will be glory for those in Christ. Let me say as I finish, if you are not a citizen of God's kingdom, your long-term prospects are bleak. Take it from me. Take it from the Word of God. They are bleak. But if you are, by grace, through faith in Jesus, a citizen of the kingdom of God, the best is yet to be. That's why the gospel is good news. And that's why young folk going to SISM, that's why young folk going to the community outreach, that's why going to Uganda, wherever you're going to be going or doing this coming week, be bold. Be bold. The world will be bold in its message. So why should the Church of Jesus Christ not be? Be bold and be strong, for the Lord your God is with you.